Good morning. The time is 9:06. Currently in downtown Wausau at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street remains 65 degrees under overcast skies. It is already Thursday. Yep, it is Thursday, August the 8th of 2024. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, we had a big first hour. I had Pat Kreitlow join us at the top of the show, talking about being on hand yesterday for the big campaign appearance in Eau Claire of Vice President Kamala Harris and her running mate, her chosen running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. 12,000 folks were in Eau Claire for that. And we got the details on what Pat Kreitlow saw, talked about some of the other issues as well. Then we had Brittany Merlot talking about what's going to be a bit of a cool forecast for the next couple of days. But boy, it's going to be beautiful. Maybe a little bit below normal temperature-wise, but still just terrific weather. A lot of sunshine for the next few days. In fact, don't expect any rain for quite a while. And we will talk more about the weather coming up as well as we continue here this morning. Coming up in this hour, in about 12 minutes or so, we will be joined by 7th District Congressional Democratic candidate Elsa Duranzo. And we are just 5 days away from the primary next Tuesday in the state of Wisconsin. Lots of races that we need to keep an eye on. Of course, we have the competitive primary in the 7th Congressional District, Elsa Duranzo and Kyle Kilborn. The winner of that Democratic primary will go on to take on Tom Tiffany, the incumbent from Hazelhurst, known as Toxic Tom. We'll have more to talk about, especially after the primary, when the Democrats have their candidate against Mr. Tom Tiffany. Again, get out there and vote on that. We have a couple of assembly races that have primaries on the Republican side in the 87th. You got Corey Sillars and Brent Jacobson, the mayor of Mosinee. So that's another interesting race. We have, of course, the two questions on the state constitution, where the conservatives and the Republicans are hoping to take away, again, some of the authority of the governor of the state of Wisconsin. Very important questions to be answered. I think we have talked to folks, and no is the correct way to go. We'll talk more about that in the run-up to Tuesday as well. So, again, Tuesday, make sure you're tuned in as well during the course of the day and the night to Civic Media, Bow Falls Radio, complete coverage of election night. Terry Bell will be leading the way, our news director. Brittany Merlot will be part of it. We'll all be part of it. So it should be a very exciting Tuesday coming up next Tuesday. Primary Election Day is 2024. Campaign cycle continues in the state of Wisconsin. But before we get to Elsa Duranzo in the next segment, we need to say good morning to our in-studio engineer. And stop breathing so hard. I can hear you in my headphones there.
Sorry about that.
You're going to have people tuned in thinking, who's the heavy breather in the background here? But no, it's our in-studio engineer, our producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
I know you're continuing your rehearsal process for Taming of the Shrew. I got into contact with your director yesterday. Up next Monday, we will be discussing the children's show, Midsummer Night's Dream. It's not a children's show per se, but it has more children involved in the cast.
It features a mostly a cast.
Yep, yes. So we're going to talk about that with their director and also couple of cast members coming up as well on Monday morning at 9:34 a.m.
Excellent.
And then on Tuesday, your director, Cindy Strobel, will be coming in, and also with a couple of cast members as well to talk about The Taming of the Shrew. That will that'll be on Tuesday morning at 9:34 a.m. So both Monday and Tuesday, we will focus on Shakespeare in the Park and through the River and Woods Theater Group. And that's opening up next Thursday. Yeah, we're 1 week away, next Thursday.
1 week away, yes.
Again, for folks who may not be familiar, both shows, Midsummer Night's Dream will be performed in the afternoon, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yes.
And Taming of the Shrew will be performed in the evening, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. What are the details again on the times and the location?
Yes. So both the shows will take place at a Stewart, a park in Wausau, close by the Leahkee Woodson Art Museum. And the Midsummer Night's Dream will take place at 2 o'clock, and The Taming of the Shrew will take place at 6 o'clock. And those are all 3 days. So it should be a lot of fun, and we're hoping that for tonight and tomorrow that we can start doing our run-throughs actually at the park, as long as the weather is nice. But nothing else, we can't make it to the park this week. We're at least going to try and run the show, like, outside, so we get a handle of, projecting and making sure our voices are heard and making sure that, because, when you have an outdoor theater space and you don't have, we're not going to have, the mics that we wear. It's going to be, some stage mics that we'll have on the ground. So you really have to make sure that you project and enunciate. Enunciation is very important, especially when outdoor theater. So the next few days going into next week with our final rehearsals, it's going to be about, tightening up the show, staying in character, and making sure we project. But overall, I'm very excited for this, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And I hope we need to start spreading the word and getting people to buy tickets. Absolutely.
How do you buy tickets?
So you can get them on the River and Woods Facebook page. If you go to the River and Woods Theater page on Facebook, there is a link that will take you to the event itself, and then there is a link where you can get tickets. And tickets are $20 for adults and $15 for kids and seniors. And these were both shows. It's not different prices for each show. Both the shows have the same price for tickets.
Fantastic. We'll talk more about the show as it continues. And again, we'll have guests from both of these productions, one on Monday and then one on Tuesday morning here on Bow Falls Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Sports-wise, Brewers have been as successful down south as General Sherman was back in the Civil War. The Brewers are going through the South and lighting things up offensively. The Brewers last night had 16 hits and defeated the Atlanta Braves 8-5 in the heart of Georgia. Blake Perkins had a big night, 3 hits and 3 runs batted in. Joey Ortiz had 2 hits and RBIs as well. Gary Sanchez had a couple of hits. Jackson Churio, Reese Hoskins had 3 hits. Boy, Brewers were banging it out up and down the lineup yesterday. And the Brewers now 64-49 on the season. And they remain 6 games ahead of St. Louis in the National League Central Division. And trying to complete a series sweep later on this morning, in fact. It's an early afternoon game in Atlanta, Eastern time zone, but it starts late morning here in the Central time zone. First pitch a little bit after 11 a.m., the Brewers and the Atlanta Braves. So again, the Brewers had been struggling. They had lost their previous 3 series, then faced one of the best teams in the National League. They're on the road, and they were winners 10-0 on Tuesday, and now 8-5 last night. A chance, for a 3-game sweep against the Braves later on today. The Wausau Woodchucks, they faced off against a team that they had never played before, a team from Minnesota. named the Mud Puppies. The Minnesota Mud Puppies came to Athletic Park.
That's an interesting name.
I know, huh? So the Mud Puppies came to Wausau last night, and the Woodchucks brought out the big bats as well. The Woodchucks defeated the Minnesota Mud Puppies 11-5 last night at Athletic Park, and the Chucks did not welcome Minnesota in very nicely. They came off with 5 runs in the first inning and really never were threatened after that. So the Woodchucks continue to be successful, again, getting towards the end of the regular season, and they will be getting ready for the playoffs and try to get a championship here to Wausau before the end of August. And the Woodchucks will again be home tonight. And once again, if you're curious on what a mud puppy is or how a mud puppy would dress, you can come out and see the Woodchucks and the Minnesota Mud Puppies tonight. And it is Fan Appreciation Night tonight at Athletic Park. And first pitch is set for 6:35. So if you're looking for some baseball, probably should bring a jacket tonight. It's going to be a little bit cooler than normal this time of year, but it should be dry. The sun expected to be out by later this afternoon, so it should be a terrific night for baseball at beautiful Athletic Park in Wausau. Mm-hmm. Well, coming up, we're again going to look forward towards the election, the primary election coming up on Tuesday of next week. And there is a Democratic primary in the 7th Congressional District. Two candidates looking to get the opportunity to try and unseat Tom Tiffany. And Kyle Kilborn is one of the candidates. The other candidate is Elsa Duranzo. And we'll talk to Elsa Duranzo coming up next. The time is 9:18. It is, again, overcast, 65 degrees in downtown Wausau. With Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. We're having a little trouble connecting with Elsa Duranzo. We are working on that. So I'm sending her a note. In fact, right now I'm trying to multitask here. And sometimes it's not easy to multitask. And again, we will have Elsa hopefully here in just a moment. Real fast here. I'm trying to get this number sent to her so she can call us instead of having us call her. So very good. But again, election primary election coming up on Tuesday. Make sure that you are aware that Wisconsin is a state that if you have not registered yet, you can register on the day of the election. And you are able to get out there and vote. And again, primary elections so often have rather low voter turnout. And that's one reason that the Republicans and the conservatives decided to put these two constitutional questions on the ballot. It is a situation where they are hoping for a low turnout. And that is wrong. It's changing the Constitution, whether it's the state of Wisconsin or the country, is a vital piece of work to be done. And the idea of trying to basically squeeze it through under the noses of most of the voters. And I don't care what the number that ultimately turns out. Well, I do care, but I don't think it, even if
Elsa, Chad.
Oh, Elsa's with us?
Yep,
okay. Very Elsa. Good. Very good. Elsa, good morning.
Good morning.
Sorry about some of the problems here to get connected, but glad to have you back on the program. Again, we are joined by Elsa Duranzo, who is a Democratic candidate for the 7th Congressional District. So I was talking about the primary coming up in just 5 days' time and final stretch run, as, of course, the Democrats have a primary to get ready to take on incumbent Congressman Tom Tiffany in the fall. I guess first question I'm going to ask you, Elsa, is, again, it's been a long grind for everybody that's running for office. As we get down to the final 5 days before voting, what are your general thoughts on the campaign? Are you excited now to finally have the voters get to the polls? And after all the running around in terms of the mileage that you put on, I imagine it's a couple of different ways of looking at it. Very excited, but maybe it's also a bit of a nerve-wracking time as well.
Yeah, absolutely, exactly. You summed it up really well, actually. It is exciting. It's also scary. I have the feeling that this is going to be a very, very close race between Kyle and myself. And honestly, like, it's become that daily grind, getting up and doing the work is, you know, become a part of my life. If I don't make it, I know I'm going to be like, what am I going to do now?
One of the things about throwing your hat in the ring is basically putting yourself out there in a way that most of us don't do. That you put yourself in a public position where you have to go knock on doors of people you don't know. You have to make phone calls. And so often it's a situation, one of the unfortunate aspects of the situation is to try to raise money to run for office, because, again, it's not cheap at all. And I remember the first time that we talked. In fact, sometime back last year, frankly, you didn't really want to come up and talk on the radio because it was something that was out of your comfort zone. Again, one of the things that I imagine you've learned of is that you probably can do a lot of things that maybe you thought you couldn't do a year ago.
Yes, absolutely. I had never done any of this before I launched my campaign last year. In my previous positions through nonprofits and whatnot, I did public speaking, but honestly, I was never really that good at it because I was scared. It was one of my biggest fears. But now I feel like that I've crossed over that hurdle and I'm much more comfortable doing the things. But I'm so thankful for the volunteers that I have. One in particular, or two of them in particular, have really taught me how to reach out to people, how to, you know, move over those, maybe their social norms of being polite and, you know, like, oh, don't talk to somebody when they're getting out of their car is now a thing that I can do and confidently and in a friendly way, not a creepy I'm standing at your car kind of way.
How many miles have you put on during this campaign?
I am now. So I'm at about 26,000 as of today.
Have you been able to get to every county in the district, or is that something that still is, if should you be able to continue the campaign after Tuesday, still hoping to do? Have you been to every county yet?
I have, yeah. I made all counties last November. So now I'm doubling back. I'm doubling through. So I'm almost, you know, twice, like been through all the counties twice now since last year.
We're going to have to go away for an information update here. We're going to get to the news, weather, and sports, and then we're going to come back and talk about some issues. And again, basically talk about the final days here going towards the primary and learn a little bit more with Elsa Duranzo. So Elsa, just sit back. I didn't want to delve into the heavy stuff quite yet because we had a little we were short on time with the connection issues. So we're going to have our news update, then come back and talk more with you, okay? So we'll just be a few minutes.
Sounds good.
Okay, we're going to come back after news, weather, sports. We'll have national and international news from CBS. Terry Bell, our civic media news director, will have our state news from our Madison newsroom. We will have Brittany Merlot here in Wausau with the local news and the local weather. And finally, as well, we will be hearing from our sports reporter as we'll talk again about what's been going on with the Packers getting set for their preseason opener. Mike Clemens will have all the information coming up next. The time is 9:29. Overcast skies, 65 degrees in downtown Wausau. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Thursday morning, August the 8th of 2024. Time is 9:35. Overcast skies and 65 degrees at our downtown studios here in Wausau. We are talking to 7th District Congressional Democratic candidate Elsa Duranzo on the ballot on Tuesday, primary. As she and Kyle Kilborn looking to get the Democratic nod to face off with incumbent Tom Tiffany in November. And Elsa, as I said before the break, anybody that throws their hat in the ring is put into a different situation where the microscope is on, and that during the course of a campaign, everything basically comes out there. And I know that... That is one of the hard aspects of the job, because every moment of the life is put out there. And I know that you wanted to maybe discuss one aspect. Is that correct?
Yeah, yes, I do. And thank you for this opportunity to talk about it, because not only is this important now, but as our next generations are coming into, you know, where it's their time to come into their leadership positions, this is going to affect them, you know, because of social media. Everything that we do in our lives are now put out there. And there has been this long-standing, you know, kind of a standard that our leaders or the leadership that we choose have to be squeaky clean and for their entire lives, when it comes out that the image of perfection is, you know, often false. And then we have these, you know, candidates who later on things are revealed from their past, and it actually feeds into that idea of cancel culture. So I knowingly have a very colorful past and am still stepping up to into this congressional race, despite having this, you know, thing hovering over me. And also in doing this is to hopefully maybe I inspire younger people that might have, you know, screwed up once or twice in their young adult years. So I was in an altercation that ended up where I had been arrested and charged with things that were ultimately dropped. And it causes, and it has caused a lot of worry throughout the party. It has caused a lot of, what is the word that I'm thinking of? Rumors, false rumors and false narratives about who I am as a person. But what wasn't, you know, out on my background check is that after that altercation happened, I joined the military and had to explain myself to the then commander of the 128th Air Control Squadron about what happened that day, why I was arrested, and what these charges were about. And ultimately, he looked at me and said, "This is not the environment for you." And then he took a bet on me, and then I set out on my 8 years of serving my country. And when I think about the experiences that I'm having now as a candidate for this congressional seat and how I've been treated based off of, you know, what comes up on my background check, is that nobody had reached out to me to ask me what happened. What was this? It was just an immediate, nope, we're not going to support you anymore. And I think that's very wrong. I think that is wrong because most of us as voters, most of us as residents of the Congressional District 7 have things that we've done in our past that are a little bit embarrassing or wrongly accused of, and are actually wonderful leaders, are actually the leaders that we need for tomorrow. I often think about what my son and his generation are going to go through where, you know, they snap pictures of themselves, I don't know, eating breakfast every day or just doing dumb things. And all of that is there forever. How can we support them into this next world of AI generation and, you know, just complete documentation? If it isn't for somebody who's going to step up, who has something that is on the record that is, you know, out there.
Let me jump in for just a moment, Elsa, and sort of get a little background, because you just, I think, gave some of the information. I guess, first of all, how old were you when you had the incident you're talking about?
I was an adult. I think I was 26.
Okay. And you said that there was an altercation, and then ultimately there were no charges filed in this event, correct?
No, there were charges filed.
Oh, okay. But they were dropped.
Uh-huh.
Okay, they were dropped.
Yep, they were all dropped.
And I guess for folks out there who, again, are getting this information for the first time, what would you share with the event? I mean, in terms of what, because I think when you put out that there was an altercation or an event that led to an arrest and charges, the imagination can run in terms of what it was. What did happen for folks so they can judge you, you know, fairly on Tuesday?
Yes, thank you. And that's really what it is, for folks to be able to judge fairly on Tuesday. And hopefully have some sort of understanding about it. So when I was 26, I had been away from my hometown for a very long time. And I went out for a friend's birthday, and she ended up in an argument with people that turned into a fight. And I got myself involved into it, trying to stop it, but it, you know, just exacerbated from there. But I was the outsider. So I was actually the only one who was arrested from that bar fight and charged for my own prescription medication. And that is what the alarm is about, is those charges were battery and possession of a controlled narcotic. And on paper, that looks really awful. But bar fights and being charged, wrongfully charged for my own stuff is something that, you know, I am sure other people in the district have experienced before.
And you said as well, this was before your military career, correct?
Yes.
How did the military career change you as a person?
Oh my gosh. Fundamentally, it changed me. It changed it. I learned how to manage myself better. I was taught and gained this very deep, like, instilled sense of responsibility to what, you know, the world is, how it operates, and the influence that each one of us as a collective has on, you know, on our lives, on our well-beings, on just the way things that happen. The military also instilled in me a sense of community, a sense of community that I had never had before. And it also gave me the opportunity, being a single mom, to go back to school and finally finish my degree at UW-Madison, which has led me to be the community servant that I am today.
And one other question involving all this. Now that you've had to, I think, step out and I think discuss this and have it be part of the campaign. Does it lead to any second guessing about getting involved, or does it confirm that it's the right thing to do, that to be able to discuss this and still be able to, you know, be involved in this race? I guess your feelings at this point, because obviously I would think that 5 days before the primary election, you'd prefer to be talking about some of the issues you've been touting for the past year. How does it make you feel in terms of being involved in the public sphere like this, to have to basically go back and talk about probably one of the more difficult aspects of your life?
It was very scary at first, but now that I've been doing it, this isn't the first platform that I have, you know, expressed this to. I have gone to meetings and a number of picnics where I have very outright told this part of the story, and I think it's important. I think it's necessary. It's necessary for, you know, a candidate to be honest, first off, but also to be strong enough to be honest in front of people on this sort of level is, kind of unprecedented in, I guess, Wisconsin politics. but also, it is a way for me to relate to everybody. I'm not perfect, but since that incident, I have dedicated myself, you know, and had, and thankfully have had the opportunities to learn not only that I have a strong community and places to thrive, but that is true for everyone else. And don't let these hiccups in life stop you from making a difference. And that's ultimately with my admission of this, of what I aim to do, is to inspire people, you know, get out there, run for that office. It doesn't matter. Honestly, you've got something to give to the community. Just do it.
Elsa Duranzo, candidate on the Democratic side for the 7th Congressional District. Again, primary election day will be on Tuesday, next Tuesday, and then the Democratic nominee will take on incumbent Tom Tiffany in November. Elsa, I know it's not easy to discuss any issue that makes one come out in less than a perfect light, but I do appreciate you coming on and talking about this, and especially before the primary, because obviously I think one of the things that shows leadership within a party is not to wait till after the primary and then talk about it in the run-up to the general election. So I applaud your courage in that, and again, just for being part of the democratic process. So vitally important. And again, I really do appreciate you coming on and talking about this today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity, because this is part of that experience, right? Part of that step forward.
Okay, Elsa, well then, thank you very much. Best of luck on Tuesday, and we'll talk again very soon.
All right, have a good day. Thanks.
Again, Elsa Duranzo, a candidate for the 7th Congressional District. Again, Kyle Kilborn also on the ballot coming up on Tuesday on the Democratic side. The time is 9:48. We'll have our daily history lesson coming up. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Before we go to the daily history lesson, just a few thoughts on our previous conversation with Elsa Duranzo, the 7th District Congressional candidate. Number one, I do appreciate her coming and being forthright, and again, about an issue that occurred in her past. And I think, again, and I know it was not easy for her to come out and talk about it and talk about the specifics of it. I do think that it shows more grace and courage than we've seen in other situations. And I think people out there may be saying, oh, Chad, you've been talking a lot about Chris Conley recently and his legal struggles. What I will say is that the folks in the 7th Congressional District, the Democrats who will be voting for their nominee on Tuesday, have to take it all into consideration. But I will say she was forthright in bringing it out. We have not heard Mr. Conley be forthright in terms of saying what he did or talk about it. He just says that, you know, I've been talking about it, never even explained why I've been talking about it in his commentary from last Friday. So I do think there has been a lot more forthrightness that we just heard from Elsa Duranzo than we heard from Mr. Conley on his issues. And again, number two, again, during the course of this primary, I've done my darndest to be right down the middle when it comes to this race, because I don't think it's my place to put my finger on the scales for a Democratic primary or a Republican primary or anything else. One of the complaints made by Republicans is that Meg Ellefson has been putting her finger on the scales, having her chosen candidates be on the program, having her chosen candidates have nice things to be said about. So again, I've been very fortunate to have both Kyle Kilborn and Elsa Duranzo on multiple times on this program, and it's really important that all the information has come out now, because I do think that for folks, they can take it all into consideration, go to the polls on Tuesday and then try to choose the person that can defeat Tom Tiffany in November. And again, I do think that it takes a lot of courage just to run for office, because as I think we heard, everything that is part of your life basically comes out. And I think to a certain extent here, in a public-facing position, being on the radio, it comes out as well. And believe me, when I come out and say something about another radio broadcaster, I realize that, hey, they could easily turn around on me. Fortunately, at this point, I don't think there's really anything that they're going to be talking about, but I don't know. I mean, anything can happen in the future. So, again, I realize there's a responsibility and there's a privilege that goes with being on the airwaves, and I do think that anybody that puts themselves out there in a public way deserves a certain level of respect, and especially when you're a candidate for office, to step in front of this issue and let the voters know before the primary all the relevant information. I do think that is a solid thing. And again, for you Democrats who will be voting on Tuesday, the information is there. Make the decision, and then we will move forward towards the general election in November. Mm-hmm. Today is August the 8th of 2024. It is day number 221 of this year. There are 145 days remaining in 2024, and a number of famous events have occurred on this date in history. On this date in 1899, A.T. Marshall of Brockton, Massachusetts, patented the refrigerator. On this date in 1963, in England, the Great Train Robbery takes place when a gang of 15 train robbers steal over $5 million. 50 years ago today, 1974, in the fallout from the Watergate scandal, President Richard Nixon announces resignation effective the next day. And tomorrow, I'm going to have more on Watergate, on the anniversary of Gerald Ford taking the oath of office, saying that our long national nightmare is over. So we're going to have some more on this tomorrow, because I think in 50 years, some things have definitely changed, and not for the better. On this date in 1988, the lights were turned on at Wrigley Field for the first time, making it the last Major League Stadium to have only day games. On this date in 2017, the Walt Disney Company announced plans to create its own streaming service. And on this date in 2021, the USA women's basketball team won its seventh consecutive Olympic gold medal with a 90-75 win over Japan in Tokyo. Some famous folks celebrating their birthdays today. Dustin Hoffman is 87 years old. Donnie Most of Happy Days is 71. The Edge, guitarist of U2, is 63 years old today. Princess Beatrice turning 36. If you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Some special events being acknowledged today. It is International Cat Day. Don't tell J.D. Vance about that. It is Dollar Day. It is Frozen Custard Day. It is Zucchini Day as well. And it is the date to create. So let's create here today. All right. It's time for our number for the day. And our number for the day quiz. Every weekday, we end our program by giving Ian Welsh an opportunity to have our number for the day quiz. Based on the math, we give him three choices, so he should get one out of three right. So every week, our hope is for him to have at least 33% correct.
Mm-hmm.
So far this week, he is 1 for 3, so he's right where he needs to be. But there's still work to do to have a successful week.
Yes, there is.
All right. Our number for the day is the average wage for police and sheriff's patrol officers in 2023.
Okay.
So how much money do average police and sheriff's patrol officers make in 2023?
Okay.
Is the correct answer $56,550? Is the correct answer $76,550? Is the correct answer $96,550?
Okay, I'm going with my gut on this one. I'm going to say B. I'm going to go with the middle number.
All right.
My final answer.
The average wage for police and sheriff's patrol officers in 2023, $76,550.
Yes.
So you got it right. You are 2 for 4. You have a winning week, but now we want to have an extra winning week by having more right than wrong tomorrow. Yes.
Absolutely.
Very good. All right. Well, good way to finish things off.
Absolutely.
Ian, have a great rest of your Thursday.
You too, Chad. Happy Thursday, everybody.
Thanks again to our guests, Pat Kreitlow, Clay Rice, and John Garcia of North Star Restoration and North Star Builds, and 7th District Congressional candidate Elsa Duranzo. We'll be back tomorrow, the Friday edition from 8 till 10. Coming up next, Matt and Air on Air. Have a great Thursday. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.